Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
If you like Mount Rushmore shows and stupid poll questions, you've chosen the wrong sports radio show. Expect more. Live from Atlanta, it's the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, you can expect more here on the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. Expect more show prep. Who is your favorite Cleveland Brown of all time? Tell us now. Dial us up. What is your favorite Yankee postseason memory? Call us now and tell us. Then you get like everybody lined up at the old folks' home standing in front of the payphone, waiting to call in to tell you about the game they saw in 1950. We don't do that stuff. Almost said something else. We don't do that stuff here on the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. We try to compel you. We try to interest you. We try to engage you. And I'm coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. And we appreciate Rocket Mortgage and their fine patronage of the show here on CBS Sports Radio. A lot going on. October's here. There's definitely a chill on the air this morning in Atlanta. I don't know about New York, where Tony Pierno, our producer, resides. Is there a chill in the air this morning in New York?
A little bit, yeah.
Really? You can feel it?
It's down the turn a little bit, which is nice.
Ah, there you go. You like that too, right? I mean, it's fun.
It's fun
to have the cool
air. I love the fall.
You love fall.
You get to put on a little sweater, hoodie, sweatpants.
Right. And you're tired. Like, the heat drags me down. Like, the heat just... It just gets to be too much.
I love the summertime, but it just gets to a point where enough is enough. I'm ready to move on.
And I know you are. Yeah, you are a fan of the summertime, though, too. You always...
Now it feels a little bit more like football season this year with the weather turning a little bit. So it's
even
nice.
As a Jet fan, it feels more like football season?
No. Worst team in the league.
How do you feel about that, by the way?
Dude, I've been telling you.
The other night, be honest with the audience... Because you know that I will totally respect it. In the fourth quarter, you wanted them to lose that game.
Yeah.
You didn't want them to win that game.
No.
You want to be able to control the draft, right?
Yes, I would like that. And I also want the head coach gone.
I told you when he got hired. And by the way, I will raise my hand and say, I am the dope who wanted the Eagles to hire Adam Gase and not Doug Peterson. I believe my whole thing was, I'm all about the Gase, I think that was the... So I'm raising my hand saying, I'm an idiot. I'm a complete numbskull.
I will also say this. I do not put this on Sam Darnold at all. I think that he's still going to be a solid quarterback once he's off the Jets.
So you believe... Whoa. You've already marked Sam out of town.
Yes, again, in my opinion, if the Jets have the number one pick, I don't see how you could pass up on Trevor Lawrence. As much as I like Sam Darnold...
You can't pass on.
I think Trevor Lawrence has a bigger upside. I don't think you could pass on the guy. Plus, Darnold's rookie contract is coming to an end. Are you really going to invest all this money in a guy who, again, I like, but we still don't know for 100% certain that he is the guy? We've seen flashes... But we're not 100% sure. And again, it's because he's on an inept team It's an inept organization.
You are not stealing this off my sheet either. I said here, I was going to throw a scenario at you. Baker Mayfield's rookie contract ends in Cleveland, and they let it expire. Sam Darnold's rookie contract ends, and they let him go in New York.
Yeah.
Which one of them has a job faster?
Sam Darnold.
I don't even think that's a question. I think Sam, I asked it, so I guess I did think it was a question. Sam Darnold has the job faster. There, I mean, it's not, to me, it's not even a, it's not even a question that Sam would be the one that somebody would say. I got to tell you, though, maybe it's something in that building. There's a little bit of a, he's getting a little bit of the hound dog face to him, though. I guess you get beaten down enough.
Yeah.
Or you're looking at Adam Gase and he's doing the crazy eye, googly eye thing at you. And you're like, what the blank is that? What is that? I can't. He says, look me in the eye when I'm talking to you. And I'm like, that's hard, sir. It's very difficult. Very, very difficult. He's just a, how did he get that job? And how did I?
Peyton Manning.
And how did I
think Peyton Manning has something against the Jets because he stayed in college an extra year to avoid the Jets drafting him.
Yes.
He didn't come to the Jets via free agency. And then he called the Jets and recommended Adam Gase. That he told the Jets they should hire Adam Gase.
Well, here's what I would ask Peyton Manning about that is, what about Adam Gase? Peyton Manning was already one of the greatest quarterbacks in the NFL before Adam Gase. Adam Gase didn't make Peyton Manning.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
For God's sakes. Man, it's unbelievable. If you want to get in on the phone lines today, we will keep them open for you at 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Our toll-free line sponsored by Geico. Did you know right now Geico is giving you an extra 15% off? 15% credit. Car, motorcycle, and RV policies on top of what Geico could already be saving you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn a little more about it today. By the way, the fallout comes your way 20 minutes past the hour. The most comprehensive look at the world of college football. And it gets you caught up on everything you may have missed yesterday. And I told you how big a day it was. It was absolutely awesome. So we'll get to it. Including an entire student section being kicked out at SMU. And yes, I am not one of the, you know, people that tries to get you all fired up and freaked out over Corona. But I absolutely applaud what happened yesterday at SMU. When, here's what we have to do. I don't prefer to drive 55 on open road. That's not my preference. I enjoy driving a car that's got some chutzpah to it. And so I do not want to drive 55. I prefer that I not have to do that. But you know what? The Georgia State Patrol says, you do. You do. And if I want to violate that, I can be pulled over and I can be penalized for it. The idea of the SMU student section, and if you didn't see it, they brought in the police, the real police, and escorted the entire student section out. Threw them out. Because they were not engaged in social distancing, and they were also not following the rules that have been set up by the university. And what I say, and you know where my stance is on this whole corona thing, and I've been somebody who's been, yes, we can, the whole way. But you know what? Yes, we can means don't be an idiot.
Yes, we can.
Thank you, Barack. I appreciate that. Thanks for getting up with me, by the way.
Yes, we can.
Thank you, Barack. No, that's the bottom line. Don't be an idiot. When there are rules set in place, don't be an idiot. Don't just ignore the protocols. The idea is this. You may be young and healthy and everything like that, but you still got to follow the rules. And if you decide to go to the football game, and they've set the rules at the football game that you've got to wear a mask, then just wear the mask. Just wear it. I understand. I get it. You don't want to. Oh, I'm young. I'm dumb. I'm, guess what? I definitely have my own chapter of Young and Dumb. They could have written a book on my college years and some dumb things that I did. But what you've got to do is you've got to follow the rules. So congratulations to SMU, because absolutely, that's exactly what should have happened. The student section should be cleared. And if people don't want to follow the rules that have been set up, they absolutely should be enforced. Now, I'm not talking about shutting down major American cities for 6 months at a time and destroying people's businesses. I'm talking about common sense measures that everybody can take. Which brings us to the Pac-12. Yes. Did you realize it this week? The Pac-12 came out of hiding. The Pac-12 says, hey guys, we're back. Pac-12 announced their season schedule yesterday on College Game Day. It came out on ESPN. So the Pac-12's like, hey guys, Pitt, hey, we're back. We're going to play. Yeah, the science has changed. We're going to play. Don't play without us. It's amazing how all the science changed. Just incredible. The amazing breakthroughs that have happened, and by the way, as has been documented by various sources in the past 2 weeks, the science didn't change. The politics of decision-making did. And they realized that, yes, you can do this. Now, will there be hiccups? Will there be bumps on the road? Absolutely. We've had college games canceled, rescheduled, those type of things. Of course those things are going to happen. They're going to happen. Got to be ready for them. But enough's enough. You can absolutely play college football just as you can play baseball. Just as you can play baseball. Just as you could play hockey and basketball, even though they were in bubbles. You can do this. But the Pac-12 wants to, hey, we're going to play seven games. I believe it's a seven-game schedule or a six-game schedule with a championship game or something like that. First of all, how do you have a championship game and you're playing that few games? Like, what's going on there? Because you want everybody to say, hey, acknowledge our championship, that it means as much as the SECs, the ACCs, or the Big 12s. Flat out, it doesn't. It doesn't. The battle-tested resume, and that dude from California is going to call me all in a huff. Well, why are you so anti-Cali? And I believe that was the words he used. Why are you anti-Cali? No, it's not anti-Cali. It's the Pac-12 made a decision to pull up the covers and hide until the adults went outside and told them that it was safe. Flat out. Maybe a little blunt, maybe considered unpopular with your opinion, but that's what they did. Big Ten did the same thing. They just came to the realization earlier. Oh, wait a minute. Not everybody's going to follow our prestigious point of view. And as we're seeing, as we're now into the college football season, it's done really well. They've done a really good job with it. Remember when they told you that when college kids came back to campus? Anthony, that was the whole thing all summer long when we would talk about college football. What was the talking point about when college campuses opened up? Remember, they're going to have to shut down campuses. Yeah. Campuses are all going to be shut down. They're going to have kids overrunning hospitals. It's going to be crazy. All those narratives that you were fed, they're not true. They're not true. Go to the CDC yesterday. CDC has numbers for you on college campuses. Yes, there are college campuses that had real outbreaks. But what they had is outbreaks of positive tests. They didn't have outbreaks of hospitalizations where they were worried, okay, this is a terrible, terrible situation brewing here. The Pac-12 doesn't deserve just a free... Okay, now, we're just going to play like a half season, but it counts. It counts, because we're having a championship game. So that matters. So look at us as legitimate. Forget it. You had a chance to be looked at as legitimate when three other conferences and the NBA and Major League Baseball and the NHL all decided that, yeah, we're talking to great medical experts too. And our great medical experts tell us it's okay to play. It's okay to play. Got to follow protocols, got to do the right thing, but it's safe to play. I ask you too, as we watch what the NFL's up to today, postponing the game between the Patriots and the Chiefs, which, by the way, is a big deal for the NFL because of the TV ratings for that one. Patriots-Chiefs has sex symbol written all over it. But what did Major League Baseball do when the Marlins screwed everything up for everybody in baseball and had to shut down, and then had to shut down the Phillies for a week? And I still believe, Anthony, I'm still going to be bitter about that. I still believe that's why the Phillies missed the postseason.
I know.
They had to win one more game. They had to win one more game to be in the postseason. But because of the Marlins, they had to play six doubleheaders. All because of the Marlins. They had to play six doubleheaders. I truly believe if they had had more they win one more game there.
I agree.
If that scenario doesn't go down. So the Marlins make the postseason after screwing over the Phillies. But what did baseball do? Did baseball shut down? No. Baseball trudged forward. And that's what the NFL is going to have to do here too. Just find a way to trudge forward. All right, we got a lot coming up for you, including the most comprehensive look at the world of college football. It's the fallout. If you miss Saturday, you catch it on Sunday, right here on the John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio.
This is the John Kincaid Show. This is the fallout. Now on the JK Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah. Courtesy of my fine producer, Tony Piano, who puts this together for you every week. Buckle up and enjoy your Saturday in college football in compact fashion. Number one, Clemson, taking on Virginia. Could Virginia hang around with Clemson? A lot of people thought this year Virginia was ready to be a contender. Don Munson from the Clemson Tigers radio network said they had other plans.
Lawrence, shotgun snap, looks left side, throws, has it to Rogers. Outside the number to the 10, the 5, jumps over a defender in the end zone, touchdown. Out came the cape, and he just flew right over Nick Grant and into the end zone for 6.
Clemson takes care of Virginia 41-23. Trevor Lawrence, 25 of 38, 329 yards, 3 touchdowns. Amari Rogers with 2 touchdown catches. A record-setting day for Travis Etienne. He scored a touchdown in a game for the 38th time in his career, which ties the FBS record. Fantastic stuff. He had 19 touches for 187 yards. Clemson faces Miami next Saturday. We will see if the U is actually back. Number 2, Alabama. At home, taking on Texas A&M, ranked number 13. Now, before I went to church, this game was tied right before halftime, and I saw Alabama take a lead. That was a little scary. Not exactly what everybody was expecting. Here's Eli Gold from the Learfield IMG College Network.
They need 22 here. Mack's going to go long. He's got Waddle behind the defense. He's going to get a whole lot more than 22. Waddle's got it. He's to the 20, to the 15, to the 10, to the 5. All right, Coach Saban, you can be upset, but you can smile at the same time. 87 yards. Touchdown. Mack to Waddle. How about that?
Mac Jones, 435 yards passing, 4 touchdowns. Alabama blows away Texas A&M 52-24. This game was 14-14. Alabama's won the last 8 meetings, 19 straight home openers, now 14-0 under Saban. Saban is 20-0 against former assistants like Jimbo Fisher. Up next, Alabama visits Ole Miss and former Tide offensive coordinator Lane Kiffin. What do you think, Coach? Do you like what you see?
I'm very pleased with the effort that our players played with today, the toughness. We had a lot of respect for Texas A&M's team. They were a ranked team, so we knew it would be a difficult game, but our guys persevered, overcame some adversity.
All right, talk about adversity. Could Florida truly be a contender for the national championship? It sort of seems that way. Defense still leaves me some questions, but Mick Hubert, from Learfield IMG College entertains you with this call.
Here's a play action rollout for Trask. Now stepping back, looking to throw it back to the left side. He's got Pitts, and Pitts waltzes in. Touchdown, Gators! Hell, man! It's 13-7.
Florida wins 38-24. Kyle Trask and Kyle Pitts, they hook up for two more touchdowns. Kyle-to-Kyle connection now with six touchdowns in two games. One more than they had in all of 2019. Trask, 21 of 29, 268 yards, four TDs. Florida will travel to Kyle Field to play Texas A&M next Saturday. Boy, they look pretty good, I got to tell you. The Georgia Bulldogs on primetime television taking on Auburn. This is the South's oldest rivalry, and it really wasn't much of a rivalry last night. Here's Scott Howard from the Georgia Bulldog Sports Network.
And McIntosh is out, and Cook is in. Bennett going to throw it left, hang it up for the corner, and touchdown! Touchdown on a diving effort, George Pickens!
Well, got to love a 27-6 victory. They choked them. I mean, just dominated them. Stetson Bennett, 240 yards, one touchdown in his first college start. Zamir White, a pair of scores. Georgia wins 27-6. It was their earliest meeting with Auburn since the very first game in the series was played in February of 1892. Unbelievable. Georgia's fourth straight victory over Auburn, too, and the Bulldogs have won 13 of the last 16 meetings. Georgia hosts its second-ranked opponent next week when number 21 Tennessee visits Sanford Stadium. Auburn facing Arkansas. Kirby Smart, you still think your team needs to improve, do you?
Top 10 matchup and an opportunity to get better. Thought we showed improvement. We left a lot of plays out there. I thought we played really hard defensively, but sloppy on third down. I thought offensively, when we play clean, meaning we don't have a busted assignment, a penalty, or somebody doesn't know what they're doing, we do well. But we can go backwards as quick as we can go forwards offensively, and we probably left more out there.
Can we get a couple upsets, please? Okay, look, Texas shows up. Tom Herman shows up. We know we can get an upset. Texas taking on TCU. This is always a nightmare matchup. Here's Brian Estridge from Learfield IMG College.
Second and six. It's a keeper for Duggan. Up the middle. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown. Max Duggan scores it here from 26 yards out. The Horned Frogs win the touchdown.
TCU upsets Texas 33-31. When TCU's won 7 of 9 games against Texas, is it really an upset? Duggan, 231 yards, ran for 79 more, scored twice. Sam Ellinger, 4 touchdown passes, but just 17 of 36 for 236 yards. Woof. Gary Patterson now 7-2 against Texas since TCU joined the Big 12 in 2012 after that win. So, UCF, they're going to have a hard time claiming someone else's national title this year after this matchup with Tulsa at home. Oh, my gosh. This is crazy. Here's Bruce Howard from Learfield IMG College.
Back to pass Smith. Smith has time. Throws over the middle. End zone. Caught. Back of the end zone. Touchdown, Stokes. My goodness, the Hurricane has climbed the mountain. They've come all the way back from a 23-5 deficit, and now they've taken the lead 31-26. Wow. Here's the snap.
Well,
Gabriel
well,
drops
right.
back to pass, steps up, flings it high in the air toward the end zone, and that ball is batted away out of the back of the end zone, incomplete, and the Tulsa Golden Hurricane have upset UCF 34-26 here in Orlando.
So UCF cannot claim a national championship that they didn't earn this year, I guess. Zach Smith, 3 touchdown passes. Tulsa, you heard him, down 18 to snap the Knights' 21 home game winning streak. And congratulations on the 34-26 upset. That is absolutely awesome. Golden Hurricane also upset UCF last season in Tulsa. That's pretty good stuff. North Carolina at Boston College. This one was not supposed to be as close as it ended up being. Here's Jones Angel from Learfield IMG College.
Jerkovic in a play action. Pressure coming from Hopper. Jerkovic keeping the play alive. And the pass intercepted. Intercepted by Morrison. Morrison heading down the field. He can score two on this play. And he's going to do it. Morrison with the pick. And 100 yards later, put some points on the board.
North Carolina hangs on to win 26-22. Sam Howell completed 14 of 26 for 225 yards, two touchdowns. The Tar Heels improved to 6-2 versus Boston College with a 4-0 record in the ACC. Now, North Carolina returns home to play Virginia Tech. It'll be the first of six straight games until Thanksgiving. That's a nice 26-22 victory. Want to make sure that I remind you that Cincinnati managed to survive. They won 28-7, an easy victory there. Mississippi State, ranked 16th in the country, taking on Arkansas. They're going to win, right? Wrong. Here's Chuck Barrett from Learfield IMG College.
Frank's going to throw, got a man wide open in the end zone. Touchdown, Arkansas! Hudson Henry with his first touchdown as a Razorback, and the Hogs go up 20-7.
Congratulations, Arkansas. That's a nice victory. Really nice. Felipe Franks threw two touchdown passes. Arkansas intercepted KJ Costello three times. The Razorbacks broke a 20-game SEC losing streak by upsetting Mississippi State 21-14. Arkansas hadn't won an SEC game since October 28, 2017. The Eagles had not won the Super Bowl at that time. That's unbelievable. So Mississippi State upset 21-14. Not a good look for them. Oklahoma State, the only hope for the Big 12? Looks that way. Here's Dave Hunziker from Learfield IMG College.
Gets a shotgun snap. Play action pass. Throws it deep down the near side for Braden Johnson. Makes a catch. Center of the field to the 20. 15. 10. Right side of the 5. And into the end zone. Pistols firing. Touchdown Oklahoma State. 61 yards to Braden Johnson.
Shane Illingworth. 265. Three touchdowns. Chuba Hubbard. Ran for 145 yards and two more scores. Cowboys crush Kansas 47-7. Cowboys off next week. Oklahoma State heads to Baylor October 17th. And now that Texas has a loss, and now that Oklahoma, they didn't make it this week. They were too far down. But Oklahoma upset last night 37-30. Cyclones taking care of them. So Oklahoma's got two losses. It's all up to Oklahoma State. They absolutely cannot trip up now. They may be the only hope in that Big 12 to get to the college football playoff. If your team wasn't good enough to make it, complain to your AD, complain to Anthony Piano, go to Tony Piano on Twitter, complain to him. You weren't good enough. Maybe next week you will be, here on The Fallout, on The John Kincaid Show, on CBS Sports Radio. Absolutely an amazing rundown every week, and Tony does a good job with that. Follow him on Twitter, at Tony Piano. He doesn't go by Tony, but it is fun to be able to call him that. It is nice. And it's a good way to be able to track him on Twitter. Makes it a lot easier.
The show for those who choose to live their sports life with a positive outlook. Let's get back to the JK Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Ooh, I just ate a piece of paper. Oh, my gosh. Oh, gosh. How did I do that? I had like a little piece of paper and I ended up chewing on it. I must have stuck the... Oh, God, terrible. Totally not on the protocol. Not in the protocol. Yeah, we live in America. Aren't you glad? Appreciate you being a part of the show. Get involved with us at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4CBS. You heard about the world of college football. Bill Bender joins us from the Sporting News, one of my favorites, coming up in the next hour, about 20 minutes past the next hour. He will opine on everything, and he will tell me whether my take on the Pac-12 is completely ridiculous or not. And Bender's the type to tell me, I really think that's a stupid, stupid thing you just said, John. So he'll definitely come with it next hour. Don't miss it. Sabah, North Carolina, wanted to get in on the show this morning. Sabah, how are you?
Well, I'm great now that I'm speaking with you on a Sunday morning.
I love that. Are you running an errand or are you just at home?
No. Just like I said, I wake up with you in my bed every Sunday morning.
Man, I'll tell you. Do you think the women in America that would love to be in your shoes with that?
I am one of the luckiest people alive.
Because there is only one Christina gets to do that every day of her life.
Yeah, but, but I also have my two little pups and my husband. So, see, I'm very lucky.
Man. Wait a minute. You have four breathing creatures in the bed?
Well, including myself, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
A nice big bed. Oh, yeah.
How big are the dogs? I got to get this.
Six-month-old Shih Tzu poodle that we rescued. He's about 9 pounds. Another one, my cocker poodle, 8 years old.
Oh, okay.
He's a rescue. He's 23 pounds. So
now, does the 9-year-old or the 8-year-old like the new one?
Yes, because the new one's like sort of knows who's boss.
Oh, okay.
So they play and play and play. And whenever the old one says, "I want something," the new one says, "Go right ahead."
So it's very similar to me and my wife. That's why we get along so well. I just know how to behave and do what I'm told. So how are you this morning?
How do you avoid an egg? You treat him like fine china. Right?
What did I tell you about, by the way, when Ron Rivera got hired?
There was an adult in the room.
Are you starting to feel it?
Yes, because he's finally seeing what I've been seeing. And that's what I wanted to call. I mean, it is amazing all the hate that I get when I call into the Redskins station saying that I don't think Haskins is the answer. Now Rivera's getting the hate. Now it's everybody else's fault why he isn't succeeding.
Really?
There's a tweet I saw that named all the Ohio State quarterbacks for the last, 15 years. None of them are in the league.
Well, Haskins didn't have a long resume either.
No.
He did not have a long resume of success. And so, to me, look, Ron Rivera, here's the best part about it for the Redskins. I mean, for the Washington football team, I should say.
It's the Redskins.
They don't care. Ron Rivera don't care.
Right.
He didn't care. He's going to do what he knows is right for his franchise. That's why I mean by you've got an adult in the room. You've got a guy with an NFL pedigree that's been to a Super Bowl. It's won an NFC championship that knows how to build a successful team and doesn't care. He doesn't care what the radio stations or whatever says.
Right. The pedigree that the Haskins had was he went to school with the owner's son.
Well,
that's the pedigree.
That could be part of it.
That's how ridiculous it is.
And didn't Urban Meyer have a lot to do with it, too?
Well, I don't trust Urban Meyer's judgment at all. He threw Burrow away over Haskins. And he had Terry McLaurin as the third best receiver.
Correct.
What kind of talent evaluation is that?
Urban Meyer says. He wins a lot, so I know that that's the case.
Well, he wins because he has tons of things to pick from. When you have like $1 million, you can throw away 20 bucks here and there.
That is the truth. I can't right now as I'm full-time unemployed, but I'll keep that under control. Thank you, Sabah. Have a great week. Josh in Boise, Idaho joins us. Josh, you're on the John Kincaid Show. How are you, buddy?
I'm fabulous. Just delivering newspapers with my son.
Gotta love it. Now, wait a minute. Whoa. You see, your son's in the car with you. How old is he?
21.
Okay. My dad delivered newspapers. I think maybe we talked about this one time before. My dad delivered the Philadelphia Bulletin on Sunday mornings and stuff, and sometimes I would ride in the car with him when he would deliver newspapers. The smell of the ink made me like want to vomit. How does your son handle it? You're probably nose blind to it.
I did it as a kid too, but it's good to give him some structure. He's autistic, so giving him some structure gives him his own little money. So I'm gonna help.
That's awesome. That is absolutely awesome. Good dad, teaching those lessons. What do you got for me today?
What I got for you is I also volunteer as a timekeeper for the Optimist football here in Boise, and I watched a large group of 6- and 7-year-olds play 4 games in a row from 9 o'clock this morning to 5 p.m., and sometimes they only had 10 minutes between games.
Wait a minute. They played. Now, how long are the games? Are they an hour? Like in our area, an hour
is 10 minutes. It's 10-minute quarters with a 5-minute break at halftime, and there was no locker room. There was no. They were out in the sun. It was over 70, almost 80 degrees. I mean,
why were they doing? Why were they playing that many? Why were they playing that many games? Is that routine?
It was a tournament, end of year tournament.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
If they had to lose twice in order to be out, so the teams that won the whole thing, they were there all day.
That is incredible to me. And their parents, these are 7- and 8-year-olds?
6- and 7-year-olds.
Oh, my gosh. And they're playing.
Watching the determination on the little kids was amazing. But what I'm saying is, if those kids can do that, you got teams like the Dolphins, and I think it's the Bills, that have, they play 1 week, then there's a bye week, then they play the exact same team the same week. There's got to be ways for these professional grown-ass adults, you may swear, that if you give them an hour and a half break, if the NFL has to make it work, they've had to do it before. Hold up your big boy pants and go play football.
There you go.
That's what they claim to love to play, right?
I appreciate your call. It's a lot harder at the NFL level. I've got to tell you this, and I appreciate the call. There is a, I can tell you this. For my entire radio career, I have spent time at NFL training camps and Major League Baseball spring training. And I will tell you that for Major League Baseball spring training is like going to a country club. It's beautiful sunshine after a cold winter. You feel it. You smell the grass. You're loving it. It's awesome. And you just look, it's not like a struggle. It's not a real struggle. It's completely different when you're talking about NFL training camps, which, by the way, have gotten to be a lot less. There's a lot less hitting. There's a lot less practicing. But the NFL players take a much more physical beating. They really do. Gary in Rocky Top, Tennessee, joins us. Gary, good morning, brother.
Hey, good morning, John. Hey, I heard everything you said about the Pac-12, and I agree with everything. But I've been rooting for them to come back for one simple reason. I love Herm Edwards and the way he conducts a program. Now, I wanted to see him back in action and doing what he does best. That is the most sincere coach in all of football. He's not in it for the money. He made a zillion dollars in the NFL. He's set for life. He does it because he loves it, and he loves to have it, make the impression on young men that he does. And he's doing a really good job. He's sending people to the NFL. So that's all I wanted to say about him.
I love him. I love him. And, you know, here's the two. Do you know who Herm Edwards' next-door neighbor is?
No.
Clint Eastwood.
Wow. I never would have guessed that.
Speaking
of actors, what is the name of the guy that plays Victor Newman on Young and Restless?
Eric Braeden.
Okay, did you ever see him on an old TV show called The Rat Patrol?
I did not, but Eric Braeden is a his television son, Joshua Morrow, who plays Nick Newman, is a buddy of mine, and I can tell you that the only thing he doesn't do is he says, I'll ask him, I'll say, what are you doing, Josh? And he goes, not getting fat. Because these guys, as long as they can parade around in their underwear, they can work forever.
Yeah.
Very similar.
Hey, thank you for the time there, Dennis.
Thanks, Garrett. Love Victor Newman. You punk. You punk, Jack Abbott. You punk. Anthony, do you know who Victor Newman is? Do you know that reference?
No.
Okay. If you Google Victor Newman right now, I guarantee you Google it, you've seen him. I guarantee you, he's been on the show for 40 years.
All right, I'm getting the phone out.
You Google Victor Newman.
And let's see.
When you Google him and you see his face, you will say, okay, I know who he is.
Okay.
You've seen him.
Yes, I have.
He's the mustache. He's the mustache. He's the, he's the main protagonist of The Young and the Restless. And a big sports fan, too. He is a huge Carolina Panthers fan. Strange, strange, strange.
1980, but, huh? He's been portraying Eric Braeden?
He has been portraying Victor Newman since then, yes. And the guy's almost 80 years old and he still boxes. He still has, Anthony, he has abs. He still has abs. He boxes. He is a badass. He is a tough, tough man. We're going to get it. We're going to get Eric on the show. We're going to get Eric on the show at some point. Big sports fan. Really big sports fan, too. So I told you earlier, Oklahoma State. Now, it looks like Oklahoma State's going to be the only hope for the Big 12, which history would tell you means there is no hope for the Big 12. Not to be, facetious about it, but Oklahoma State has not exactly been world beaters or a team that you know is able to perform really well under pressure. So we've already got one conference that's on life support. And one conference in the Pac-12 that is saying, please, 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 begging for your attention. But I got to tell you this. I'm going to make a statement now about my Philadelphia Eagles. That is a definitive statement after watching so far what has gone on in the 2020 season. And Anthony, you're going to be shocked by this statement. because it's coming from a diehard Eagles fan. There are teams that are champions that winning a championship is the culmination of a lot of hard work, skinning your knee, making some mistakes, and then you climb to the top and you win a championship. You see that a lot in the NBA. In the NFL, you see it too. Chiefs come up short under Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, and then Patrick Mahomes ascends to a Super Bowl champion. You've seen things like that in the NFL before. Anthony, I've come to the realization that the Eagles Super Bowl championship was just one of those magical moments. I'm not going to say fluke, because it wasn't a fluke.
No,
but
it was not.
But it was one of those magical moments where a team got hot and a team started the magic carpet ride and they won. Because they weren't champions or close to it before it, and they haven't really been after it. They've been 9-7 twice after it.
Hey, I would have taken. I'll take it.
Guess what? No.
Yeah.
You know how much that means to me. You know, as a fan, that was the thing that meant so much to me. There was that's the only thing I ever said in sports, and I swore that if I got that moment, if I got that championship, that was enough for me. I never needed anything else in sports, and I swear by it. I've seen my baseball team win twice. I've seen basketball team win. My university hasn't won, but that'd be pretty hard. So the Eagles winning was everything to me. And I'm not going to say it was a fluke, but let's just say they didn't take a championship and make it sustainable at all. And they've literally fallen off the map. And it's bad. It's really, really bad. All right, coming up in the next hour of the show, we got so much coming your way. Bill Bender joins us. Plus, my first college football playoff four. John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.